At a press conference in Chicago on Thursday, President-elect Barack Obama reacted to the corruption charges against the Illinois governor by stating a stark truth about political power.
I think in Illinois, as is true in American politics generally, there are two views of politics. There's a view of politics that says you go in this for sacrifice and public service, and then there's a view of politics that says that this is a business, and you're wheeling and dealing, and what's in it for me?
Illinois politics is well known for a tendency toward the what's in it for me approach and the corruption that can breed. In 2006, the state's previous governor was sent to prison for 6.5 years for fraud and other crimes. And according to Slate magazine, 469 politicians from the Federal District of Northern Illinois were convicted on corruption charges between 1995 and 2004. But according to Columbia University political science professor Justin Phillips, none of their crimes were as egregious as the ones of which Governor Blagojevich has been accused.
Well, corruption in American politics has typically been trading of government contracts or government benefits for oftentimes just simply campaign contributions. You know, here's some money to your campaign, and in exchange, you give me my business a particular contract. Or I take you to a basketball game, give you some great seats, and in exchange, you know, you get something that my client wants. Those type of exchanges are typical of what we would see when we talk about corruption in American politics.
If the exchange of goods and services for money is legitimate in the public marketplace, why is it considered immoral in politics? Kent Redfield, a political science professor at the University of Illinois and the author of several books on state politics and corruption, says politicians are elected or appointed to do the people's business, not their own.
If they are benefiting personally from bribes, extortion, campaign finance contributions, then they essentially have a conflict of interest. The question is, are they trying to pursue the public interest to do what's best in terms of their office, or are they shaping policy in ways that will guarantee they get the most money? So this distorts public policy. That's really what's wrong with it, is that if citizens ultimately believe that everything's for sale and it's corrupt, then they have no reason to support the political system.
Redfield describes Illinois Governor Blagojevich's pay-for-play politics as a modern-day continuation of the so-called machine-style politics that were the norm in big cities like Chicago and New York from the mid-19th century until the 1960s. Machine politicians relied on new immigrants who had little political pull. In exchange for votes, party bosses would give the newcomers jobs once their candidates were put in office, or politicians would take bribes for ensuring the efficient delivery of city services like snow or garbage removal, or the granting of lucrative city contracts.
I guess in a perverse way, that does mean that if you've got enough resources, you can kind of ensure that things are going to get done unless somebody outbids you. But on the other hand, those systems have problems long term, is that the gap between the haves and the have-nots is not only in terms of the private economy and whatever private economy exists, but then, you know, it only works for people that have resources, and that generates discontent, and those are the sorts of things that historically lead to political upheaval and revolution.
On the other hand, says Columbia professor Justin Phillips, political machines were quite effective at practical governance.
They could get things done. Machines, because of their, you know, their vast control and their ability to sort of peddle influence the way that they were able to, they got a lot done where sort of reformist governments in American cities were much less effective. And so the public, particularly in cities, had a love-hate relationship with the political machines. If you go back to the 19th century in American politics, what the government did to sort of protect people from the vacillations in the American economy and unemployment did very little. And so you had to rely on non-governmental entities to step in and help people during tough economic times or to help new immigrants. And government does a lot of that stuff today.
Ultimately, however, Phillips says that legal reforms broke the power of the party machines.
Numerous reforms. So number one, the requirements for registering to vote changed. So machines couldn't, sort of as soon as immigrants got off the boat, they couldn't register them to vote and sort of bring them into American politics. Other reforms that made quid pro quo transactions that machines engaged in illegal, increased efforts to change the government employment in this country to sort of to a civil service system as opposed to a system where everybody that worked in government was a political appointee. So the machines sort of had fewer benefits to dole out, and as machines had fewer benefits, they sort of began to wither and die.
Under American legal principles, Illinois Governor Blagojevich is presumed innocent until he is convicted of the crimes prosecutors have alleged. However, the size and scope of the corruption of which he has been accused is a reminder. Regardless of the legal sanctions, Americans hope will ensure fairness in public life and selflessness in public officials, the temptation to use the public trust for private gain is still a force in American politics. This is Adam Phillips reporting from New York.